Hi there, I'm Janine Garner, and welcome to the Unleashing Brilliance podcast, the go-to spot for success-driven women. Join me on a journey of building business on your terms, crafting a life by design, and unlocking the immense potential within you. Because trust me, you're more capable and brilliant than you might realize. Let's dive in and unleash that extraordinary potential together. Today, we're diving into a conversation that hits home for so many of us, that struggle with feeling unnoticed, like you're the world's best kept secret. And often, what I'm hearing so often is that feeling of playing it small versus at your absolute best. On our latest episode, Turning Your Unique Genius into Your Success, this isn't just another pep talk. It's a real raw dive into the heart of what makes you you. I chat with the amazing Sandy Halpin, who shares her journey and the profound lessons that she has on leveraging what makes us uniquely brilliant. We talk about why identifying your genius is the key to your success, that we've all got to dare to be a little bit different. She talks about difference by design, and that actually the future of your business is really dependent on you being brave enough to experiment more and color outside the lines more. And it's your unique genius that enables you to do this. Enjoy, and I look forward to hearing your thoughts. Sandy, finally, we managed to get you on this podcast. Blimey, trying to get our diaries to connect is a bit of a challenge. Oh, it's so good to have you here. Just for the purposes of the audience, we've worked together for a couple of years, if not longer now, actually. I think we met during COVID. You became a client. You've collaborated on some work with me. And I really love the work that you do in this space of really standing for something different and the strategies that you put in place to help businesses and organizations shift from where they are today into where they are tomorrow. And so I'm super excited that we're going to have a bit of a deep dive conversation to where you think fundamentally all of this starts. Now, I'm really curious before we get started. I went to see Steve Bartlett. He's has an amazing podcast, Diary of a CEO. Millions of followers on there. I'm sure, I think you're probably an avid listener like I am. And went to his Sydney tour. And one of the things that stood out from his conversation, he was talking a lot about who, not how, of where we really have to start with who and not how. And from his context, it was very much around the clients that you want to work with. And I'm passionate about finding our ideal clients. And what I know about you is you're passionate about the who as an individual and the impact that that has on business, on growth, on engagement, on fulfillment, on team performance. So what do you think about that comment of Steve from Steve Bartlett around it starts with who, not how?
I love it. Speaks to me in my very core. We speak so regularly about authenticity, about understanding who you are, but what I see is still a lot of people who are trying to emulate someone else. We read a lot of leadership books and we try to be like the person instead of taking a step back and going, you know, there's some gold here with me. And it's so much easier when we identify who we are and how we're different and engage with the world as ourselves. So the who as it relates to us, the who as it relates to our team and our business is so incredibly important to be able to position us for success and for future growth.
Oh, I love that. And looking forward to delving into this. Before we do, share a little bit about what got you here. What is the little bit of genius roadmap to Sandy Halpin?
Well, I'll start by saying it's different. What it is not is a vanilla roadmap to where I am today. I am the daughter of an accountant. I've always loved maths, and unsurprisingly, yes, I too was an accountant. For 30 years, I think I had the formal qualification. My career has been quite different in terms of an accountant or a consultant or a business advisor. So I have been in and out of large business and startup environments and advisory throughout my entire life. I've worked with some titans of industry like Disney, like PricewaterhouseCoopers here in Australia with Qantas. And I've worked for startup incubators like Easy Group in the UK. They were the masterminds of EasyJet, Easy Everything, Easy Rent-A-Car. And I've been in startup land here in Australia as well and advising SMEs. So I've got like a 30-year career in finance, strategy and change. And what I bring to work these days is a mix of that. So I bring people, strategy and numbers into the room. And it's one of those things that, you know, yes, we love doing leadership programs and change programs, but is it really making a difference to our results, and is it really helping us identify and move towards strategy and the future that we want? My passion is all about how do we identify what it is that lights us up individually or collectively in terms of a business? How do we create value that increases the size of the pie and that brings something new to the world? Because when it's new, we can stand apart and we know who we are and we can stand for something that's really important to us.
So that what lights you up. Now, where did that come from? Have you always known for yourself what lights you up? Or was there a moment for you where you almost had to stop and pause to then identify that?
Great question. And it's something that I've been asking myself for a while, to be honest. I'd known when I was a child that I was super independent. In fact, I came home in grade six. And so I'm from a small country town in Far North Queensland. I came home in grade six and said to my parents, "You are sending me to boarding school," because I knew the world was far bigger than a small country town in Far North Queensland. I have always been that kid who looked for more. Kind of, and it's got two sides. There's a beauty side, there's a light side to that, and there's a shade side to that, right? So the light side is the exploration, the search for adventure, the independence, getting out of my comfort zone. But equally, the shade of that is you continually live in the future or somewhere else rather than actually anchoring to where you are and getting on with the activity of where you are today. And I have to be honest, it's some of those, it's one of the things that I still struggle with. You know, it's a strength of mine, but it's equally what can hold me back at times and keep me spinning my wheels. But I have always been that person who's looking for more, no matter what business that I've been. It's been, what can we do differently? I am fascinated by possibilities and the future. I will sit there and think deeply about what some of the geopolitical issues might have on our future. And then try and translate it back to what does that mean for today and the actions that we need to take today.
There was a couple of things that you said in there that I just want to delve into. One was you said I think you said at the age of eight or six about daring to be different. And the second piece that I just want to pick up on as well is that comment about your strengths working in your favor, but also becoming a shadow. So my question is, where do you see those two things playing out? First up, the daring to be different. And then, because they're linked, I'm sort of in my mind, there's a link between the daring to be different and this piece around knowing what you're bloody good at, what your strengths are, but also the awareness of how it can work against you. Can you talk to those two things for me?
So unsurprisingly, one of the things that you hear me say regularly, right, is different by design. All we know about the future is it's going to be different. Look around us, look at the domestic market, look at the international market, look at technology and the pace of technological change. Even if we stand in the same place, our future is different. And we have a choice to either accept that difference by default because we do nothing and we'll erode value, or knowing it's going to be different, we step into it and say, okay, what are the opportunities? What's the possibility? And what can I do to harness the future and to either create the future or be in a position in which I'm able to adapt and I'm ready for what the future might hold? Because if we do nothing, we stay stuck where we are. It sounds really easy to say, but the reality is it's really difficult to do. Because when we think about the future and different by design, and daring to be different. We're talking about uncertainty. Most of us like to live in a level of certainty. So when we consider uncertainty, we don't know what the options are in front of us. And we don't know the actions to take, and we will second guess ourselves. So understanding who we are, what our strengths are, how we engage with the world around us, starts to give us cues and clues about what we can do differently from a very tangible perspective to be able to explore or create opportunities in front of us. How do we step into uncertainty in a way that is right for us, where the discomfort that we feel is kind of comfortable because it's playing the stuff that we love? We can, again, you know, when we talk about strengths, our greatest weaknesses, I don't like to talk about weaknesses, but the reality is it's not about what you don't do, it's about doing too much of what you're good at. Or it's the flip side, you know, every coin has two sides. So our strength can absolutely rocket us forward, or it can hold us back. I use an example regularly, a couple of examples around my strengths. So I have competition very high in my list of strengths. You know, I work with strengths, but it's great. I love it. A lot of people really hate it because overt competition these days isn't kind of something that we like to celebrate, ironically, because we all love team sports and it's all about overt competition. So competition allows us to take that step back and reflect on what does it mean to be different, to be number one? What do I need to do differently to stand out from the crowd? That's the beauty of it. That's the light. The shade is either overt competition where we erode value, or in the circumstance of many, me included, if I don't think I can win, I won't get on the playing field. So understanding how that shows up doesn't give me a leave pass. It means that I'm aware of some of those traits, and I then have a choice about the action I take to create different.
I don't know about you, but there's been so many times during my business journey that I've got really stuck and really overwhelmed. Overwhelmed in terms of trying to work out what I should be doing immediately, what can wait till next, and what can wait till later. And so what I've developed is a Focus Finder assessment, and you can access this free assessment following the link in the show notes. This assessment will uncover what's holding you back in your business, and it will give you a plan to move forward right now. It only takes 5 minutes, and in those 5 minutes, you will unlock your individual business blueprint to increase your profit so you can stop trying to figure it out all on your own. It takes under 5 minutes, it's completely free, and you'll receive a customized report for you that will give you a list of things so you can absolutely focus on what you need to do immediately to turn your sales and profit around in your business. Link is in the show notes below.
Can I just delve into that, just knowing you? So, because I'm sure this will be fascinating for our listeners. So, Sandy, you know, very successful, very accomplished. As she's just shared, competition is your strength, but equally it has a shadow. So knowing you, the shadow of this is, like you said, if I'm not going to win, the risk is I step back and I don't play, I don't lean in. So as an outsider, as someone that works with you, I see things get put
absolutely
off. The focus, the following the shiny stuff, the suddenly, yeah. And it's luckily I know that, so I pull you back in. But this is what's so beautiful about what you're saying, Sandy, that what I see two things going on. People don't actually yes own their strength. They don't go, I am bloody good at X. This is my superpower. And they don't share it. And whether that's because of tall poppy syndrome or worry about sounding arrogant, I don't know. But we don't own our strengths. And instead, we try and be all yeah things to all people. The second part then of this is that because we're not owning our strengths, we're not necessarily asking for help, and we're doing stuff that doesn't actually fuel us, and we just start spinning. So one of my strengths is I'm a learner, right? I'm obsessed and I'm curious about understanding and learning. Now, the negative of that I experienced over the last 12 months, because I've spent this last 12 months in serving clients, doing delivery, building the business, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera, is I didn't put enough time in my calendar to learn. And so the negative of not understanding I needed that is my, I wasn't inspired. Like there was moments where I was like, I don't have this, the inspiration. So hence why I'm going to New York in a few weeks to be inspired. But the, what I'm trying to share here is that actually once you understand what you're bloody good at, what your strengths are, it becomes a superpower. And then it's up to you to be able to manage it so that the shadow you become aware of and you can play, you can actually ensure that that shadow doesn't bring you down, but actually you can stop it before it does. Yeah. So again, when you're working with businesses and business owners and even teams, how have you seen this awareness play out for the positive?
It's fascinating, right? Because people will talk about their strength, and what I'm experiencing is that when we talk about strengths, often people like to start talking about, oh, what a good leader looks like. And it's kind of motherhood statements. We don't get into the nuance and the grittiness of what it is that I bring to the table that's fundamentally different. And people will, when they read, so I work with Gallup Clifton Strengths, so it's, they get a report, and it's a pretty detailed report. And as they read it, they start to discount. They don't step into it. And we do an activity that is specifically called What is My Superpower? And when I'm in the group, what can you rely on me for on a repeatable basis? And unless we understand that and the nuance of that, we miss the potential, not just in the individual, but in the business. And so we start to play small. And we've talked about this regularly in terms of, you know, unless you know what it is that you're great at, how can you communicate that, be it in a business or if you're an executive? How do you set yourself apart? Otherwise, it's just like a job description. And let's face it, they're pretty boring and bland because it's an activity list, not an engagement list. It's again, the how, not the who. In fact, it's not even the how, it's the what. And it's activity. And so the moment that we become a commodity in our own minds, it's a moment we can't shine. And if we look at a commodity in a business context, it's price competition. Anyone who's listening to your podcast is not about a race to the bottom. Anyone who's listening to your podcast is about, how do I stand out? You know, we talk about niching. We talk about knowing your customer. We talk about knowing what your genius is. You can think about it and feel about it, or you can get to know it and really develop that capability. And one of the things that I personally feel, I don't necessarily say it to my clients, but the way that I work is how I like, I hope, is drawing this out, is that when you know your strengths, you have an obligation to develop those strengths, because strength starts as talent. And unless we build that talent, unless we practice that talent, it lies there as a possibility, but it's not a reality. And I often use sports analogies. It's so easy. I love the whole sports analogy in terms of the workforce. And it applies as equally to a sports team as it does to the individual performer. And I will often use someone like Kathy Freeman, who's an absolute gun, right? All these people know their strengths, but unless they develop their strengths and the people around them know their strengths, they'll just be good, but they won't be great. Or when you think about individual performance, Kathy Freeman, we know that she's a dynamic runner, a sprinter. We would never put her in a marathon because that's not her jam. But to the outside world, she's a runner. But there are so many different points along that definition or description of runner. She and her coach had to know exactly what she was great at. And every performance was about finding that 1% more. That's not about criticism. It's about building. It's about finding the gold and what do we need to do differently to leverage that talent to build that strength.
I love what you said there, that actually when we don't identify this stuff, we start playing safe. Do you believe that every single person on this planet, listening to this podcast, has something unique about them that makes that a strength for them?
Absolutely. We are unique. Every person is unique. And historically, we have probably looked at our uniqueness in terms of lived experience. There's a stat out there that, you know, if you use a tool like Gallup Strengths, to find one person with the same top five strengths in the same order as you is 1 in 33 million. That's just the top five. There are 34 strengths. So from a simple maths equation, that just, you know, blows itself out of the water once you start looking at the full list. But what it means is that, or take the Australian population, we've got, what, 28 million people? There is no one in Australia who is like you. There is no one in Australia who is like me. And what that means is when you hear a question, or you ask a question, and then I hear it, we will interpret it fundamentally differently because it's the way that we engage naturally with the world around us. So when you think about a team environment, and I hear often with, you know, high-performing leaders, high-performing teams that, oh, I've got a bit of a difference of opinion here. That's fantastic because it's the difference that makes us unique. It's the difference, and we leverage the difference and understand where we are not the same. We start to appreciate the breadth of opportunity that is out there because we don't want to be creating for the same because we don't want to be the same.
And yet, if we're not careful, the risk is that we look the same. So, you know, I talk a lot, and you've heard this, like there are hundreds of accountants and lawyers and physios and marketeers and PR people out there. Lots of us with the same how and what in terms of what it is that we do. But we've got to be brave enough to step into understanding our own superpower, our own strengths, our own amazingness, our own brilliance, and nurture that and build it so that it shines really strongly and allows us to do the work that we've been put on this planet to do. And you gave some examples there. You talked about, you know, the sporting analogies. You know, I think about, if you think about it from music and theater and films, there are incredible individuals out there that have stepped into their superpower. But we can't do this on our own, can we?
No. And I'll use a personal example. I am one of those people who historically and particularly at school was a solo performer. And my dad has regularly told me when I was a child, you've got to ask for help. It's like, what do I need to ask for help for? I liked to be the expert. This is that competitive piece that comes out of me, right? But when you think about any high performer, and that's an individual or a team, you think about Cathy Freeman, you think about the All Blacks, you think about Man United or, you know, any sporting team, they have an entire support crew. What happens on the field doesn't happen in and of itself. It is the subject of, or it's this culmination of intense effort and persistence that is formed by people who are observing and providing different perspectives. It's informed by different plays. It's informed by different strategies. It's informed by people around. We are no different. Our businesses are no different. So when we expect ourselves to have all of the answers, and I say this as someone who used to think this way, I had to have all the answers, and many leaders think about this and business owners think about this, we are missing, I reckon, 95% of the opportunities out there. Because we are an echo chamber and we get in our head. And if we don't, help doesn't necessarily mean saying, oh, my God, please help me, I'm drowning. But help could also just be an outreach to a client or a potential client or a colleague or someone in the same industry and say, I'm really fascinated. Can you help me understand what you're thinking and what you're seeing? And how might I apply that?
So, Sandy, it's all great talking about strengths, but I'm curious as to what you think actually gets in the way. Because for me, in all the years that I've been working in leadership or now running my own business mastermind groups, it feels like we focus on the negative more than the strengths. It's like that one thing that someone said to you years ago in the playground or your first performance review becomes the very thing that you suddenly think makes you the person that you are. And it reminds me of a good friend of mine, Kieran Flanagan. She's a world-class speaker. She travels the world. She gets paid ridiculous amounts of money to speak. And she was sharing with me that she was looking through the feedback. And it was all these cards. And it was like, positive, 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 positive. And then there was this one card that said, yeah, pretty good, but not quite as good as X other speaker. one card out of probably, I don't know, hundreds. Why do we do that? Why do we focus on that one thing? Because I think this is what stops so many of us stepping into our spotlight, being different by design, using our strengths so we can play bigger. I'm convinced it's that. What do you think goes on there?
I think there's a couple of things, right? So it feeds into our fears and that version of us that tells us we're not quite good enough. It reinforces that regardless of the amount of great feedback that we get. No matter how much of a growth mindset we have, it triggers that bit of a fixed mindset. You know, maybe I'm not as good. Maybe I'm not there yet. But it also comes back, I think, to the way in which we have conducted business and like performance reviews for as long as I can remember. We seem to be hardwired, a business seems to be hardwired to focus on what we're not doing rather than what we are doing and what we're doing well. So we might have 10 different things on our KPIs, and you see it all the time, right, where people go, oh, you do great, doing really well at these 9 things or these 8 things, but these 2, you're not doing so well at, or you're not doing them the way that I want you to do them. So can we work on those so you can be a bit more like X, Y, or Z? Well, the reality is you're never going to be there. And when we think about the return on investment of our time and our dollars, what we need to do is reframe the conversation and say, well, what are we great at? How do I engage with that? And how do I apply that and reframe the challenge of these things that maybe I need to work on? But we'll never do it the same way. We'll have a team of, say, 10 salespeople. None of them will engage the same way. We all are different. So if we expect everyone to show up and do things by rote, and in the same way, we're never asking people to bring their genius to work. We are never allowing them to unleash the potential and opportunity that they bring to the table. We are forcing them to think and colour in the lines, in between the lines. The future is not in between the lines. The future is let's colour outside the lines. There's nothing certain about the future. So if we don't use this thing that's between our ears and think differently about how we can engage or get our people to engage in a way that brings their genius to the table, then there'll be no lines to colour in between because we miss it. And we miss the dynamism of people. I firmly believe that the vast majority of people show up every day because they want to be engaged and they want to feel like they're contributing. Now, there are a lot of people who want to do that who turn up in an environment that don't allow them to do that, and so they'll turn up for the paycheck. But if we can re-strike what it looks like to come to work, if we can redefine what it means to really bring people and their genius into the room.
Yeah. And your point there that the future is challenging us to think differently. We're all having to experiment. We're all having to try things that we haven't done before. We're all having to quite possibly fail more than we've failed before. And so this piece to sort of wrap up today's interview or today's conversation, this piece around, I love that idea of we've got to be brave enough to color outside the lines. We've got to be brave enough to be different by design. If you were to leave our audience, our listeners today with sort of 3 ideas, what would those 3 ideas be for them?
One is to go beyond the obvious when we think about what it is that we're great at and what our genius is. It doesn't need to have a really fancy title or, you know, great buzzwords. When we take a step back and think about what it is that we do effortlessly that drives value and drives our engagement and the way that we do it, we'll start to identify what it is that's our genius. Whatever the situation is that you're facing, when you identify what your genius is, when you're feeling uncomfortable, and this is in business or as an individual, put a different lens over it. Look at it through your genius. If your genius is being able to see the future and think about different ways and bring people on that journey, then whatever it is in front of you, think about that challenge in terms of being the genius who can see the future and bring people along on that journey, as opposed to the way that someone who's an analyst might look at it, which is, well, let me understand history first, and then I can start to understand the cause and effect. Two very different approaches. The third piece is about developing or building a muscle to deal with uncertainty, because we can have clarity and it can coexist quite happily with uncertainty, because the clarity is about who we are, the goals we have and the values that we have, and the way that we engage so we are ready and we are adaptable. Because the future is uncertain. When we have clarity to ourselves, we have the opportunity to craft and drive the future that we want.
Thank you so much, Sandy. It's been an absolute joy. Take care.
Thanks, Jillian.